Oh, Lord, how it reminds us, as it covers the ground, how it reminds us that all our sins is covered by Thy precious blood. And oh, we know that the Scripture declares that we've been made whiter than snow, Lord. So we have a picture of the forgiveness of all our sins right here before us. And oh, Lord, we thank You as we look at that pure white snow and see how beautiful it is, knowing that we are clothed in Thy perfect, spotless righteousness, Lord, and that all our sins are forgiven. We marvel at this wondrous truth that it gets set before us all the time. Lord, we pray You be glorified today and magnified through the preaching of Your Word, Lord. I pray that our hearts will be drawn to You, that You are what is most important. You are who is most important. We come here to worship You, to praise You, to thank You, to hear about You, to get away from the world and the things of the world for our time and have our focus upon Thee, O Lord, and gather with the Lord's people, Lord. And each time we gather together, Lord, not only do we rejoice to hear the Word, but we rejoice to see each other because, O Lord, there's great edification when we're together, and the fellowship is sweet when we gather together with the Lord's people. And we need each other, Lord, but mostly we need You, Lord Jesus. So we pray that You be glorified and magnified through the preaching of Your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll continue the Attributes of God series that we've been doing. And today we'll be looking at the grace of God. The grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 1 to 10. The grace of God. And you, and remember Paul's writing to God's born-again, blood-bought believers, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So Paul right away before us brings forth the natural state of man. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, if the Scripture stopped right there, what a hopeless state. What a hopeless state. Dead in trespasses and sins. Right? Children of disobedience. That was our natural state. But look what verse 4 says. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Quickened there as we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us, and oh, how kind our great God has been towards us in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Oh, if people would only believe that, eh? That's what Norm Wells says. The problem is people don't believe what the Scriptures say. The Scripture right there says you're not saved of yourself, are we? No. We're saved by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. Right? Salvation's of the Lord from beginning to end. He's the Alpha and the Omega in salvation. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh my. So we see here set before us the grace of God. Last week we looked at the mercy of God in our study on the attributes of God. And it's only fitting today that we should follow that up with the grace of God. With the grace of God. Looking at the grace of God. Now the grace of God, grace is a perfection of the divine character, which is exercised only toward the elect of God. It's exercised only towards the elect of God. The grace of God is not mentioned in connection with all of mankind. It's not mentioned in connection with all of mankind in the Old Testament or in the New. But God's grace is shown and manifested to His people. To His people. And it comes to us, we saw there in our text, in and through Christ alone. It's only through Christ. And we even see this in our text, which we read here in the opening. The Scriptures plainly bring forth that it is God's people, His elect, who have received the wondrous gift of grace. Not everyone receives this gift, but God's elect do. God's chosen people do. And that is salvation in Christ alone. And very plainly, Paul masterfully brought out that it's not by our works, didn't he? Very plainly in the Scripture. It's not by our works, but it's all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in and through the work which Christ has accomplished as our substitute. And remember, too, this is all according to the mercy, goodness, and grace of God towards us in Christ. And God's grace is the source from which the goodwill, love, and salvation of God comes to His chosen people. Again, only through Christ. And it's all according to the eternal, free, and sovereign favor of God. Have you ever thought of that? That you're saved according to the eternal, free, and sovereign favor of God. That's why you're saved. It's not based upon anything we've done. It's not based upon anything we will ever do. But it's all according to God's grace and favor, which has been manifested to us when Christ came to this world to save His people from their sins. And Christ, we know Christ is the source of all spiritual and eternal blessings, right? We know that. We know that. And through Christ comes to God's people all the spiritual blessings that God has promised. All. Thus, why it is so important for us to preach salvation by grace alone, through Christ alone. And you know who it comes to? You know who this grace comes to? Unworthy, undeserving sinners. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins. Those who are not even looking for God. Is it so when the Lord found you? Because I know we didn't find the Lord. People often say, I found the Lord. Well, I didn't because I wasn't looking for Him. He found me. Is it so for you? Did He find you? John, you told me He found you in the middle of the ocean. On a ship. The Lord will get His sheep, beloved. He will find His sheep. And He will draw them. And pick them up and carry them in His arms. And the grace of God, remember, is unmerited and unsought for. Brother Tim, you told me you were sitting in a football game one time and say, why am I even here? After you had heard the gospel. Why am I even here? My. You see how the Lord works, beloved? Unsought for, unmerited grace. Grace. And this grace can in no way be earned. It can be in no way earned. And it's given to those who are undeserving of this mercy and grace. I know it was for me. And I know you'd say the same thing, you who are God's people. We didn't deserve this. We didn't deserve this. We didn't merit it. If we could earn it, or if we deserved it, then it would not be grace, would it? You ever think of that too? If we could earn it, or if we deserved it, it wouldn't be grace. It wouldn't be grace. A.W. Pink says this, it's the grace of God is towards His people in Christ is pure charity. Unasked for and undesired. Pure charity. Pure love. Pure love. Now we know that in the letters of Paul, He's often confronting works-based salvation. Now turn to Romans chapter 11, if you would. He's often confronting works-based salvation. And Paul masterfully, of course, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, brings forth the contrast between the grace of God in opposition to works-based salvation. And in his epistles, if you read them, and you'll see that vein through them all, that he's often confronting works-based salvation and presenting the grace of God in Christ plus nothing. Often. That's what he preached, we know. But often in the epistles, he's combating some form of error that man has cooked up to gain merit and favor with God. Look at this in Romans chapter 11. We'll start in verse 1 and we'll read all the way to verse 10. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also, am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith about Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Or Elijah, I'm sorry. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Don't ever despair, beloved. God has a remnant. God has a people in every generation, doesn't he? We know that because we're chosen out of our generation. Right? Even so, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Look at this in verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. You see what Paul just wrote there? If you put a pinprick of works and add it with grace, it's no longer grace. Very clearly stated there, isn't it? And remember, this is by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that for which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According to this written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back away. Note in verse 6 though, how Paul by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God has masterfully brought forth that grace and works do not mix. He's masterfully brought that forth. We are either saved by grace alone, or we're not saved at all. And that grace is a gift of God. And the gift of faith which we have in Christ Jesus is also a gift given to us to worship, trust, and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at how clearly the divide between grace and works is. We'll read verse 5 and 6 again. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. You see, there's a great divide there, isn't there? Salvation's by grace alone, with none of our works. We just look to Christ, beloved. We just look to Christ. And even that faith that God, that we have that allows us to look to Christ is a gift from God. It all comes from our Lord, beloved. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, our great God, we know that His grace is reigning grace. Turn over to chapter 5 of Romans. God's grace is reigning grace. It's sovereign grace. And His mercy, here have mercy upon whom here have mercy, the Scripture declares. Here have compassion upon whom here have compassion. And the believer says, praise God He had compassion upon me. Praise God He had mercy upon me. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. These verses here before us are very, very precious to the believer in Christ. We see the grace of God overflowing before us in these two verses. The Scripture proclaims here that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace did much more abound. The Scripture here for abound, when it talks about grace abounding, is superabounding. That's what it means in the Greek. Grace is super. It's not just grace, it's superabounding grace. Superabounding grace. And how is it superabounding grace? And here's what the Greek word, well, the Greek word there means, just means superabound. How is God's grace superabounding to the believer? It covers all my sin. I'm justified before God by the righteousness of Christ. I'm sanctified and set apart. I'm one of the elect according to the remnant of grace. I'd say God's grace is superabounding to the believer, wouldn't you? Oh my. Oh my. And this grace of God is free. Covers all of our sins. Why? Because Christ has paid all that God demanded for our sins. Note in verse 21 there, it says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The little word there, reign, in the Greek means to be king. To be king. So God's grace, even so might grace reign, be the king, through righteousness. It, metaphorically, it means to exercise the highest influence, to control. And think of this in light of our text that we read when we started the message, which proclaimed that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in trespasses and sins, both by nature and by choice. We were once ruled by sin, weren't we? It was a king over us. It really was. Had us in its grasp. It abounded in our lives, but now the grace of God for we who believe abounds in our lives. Sin doesn't have the hold it once had on. Even though everything we do is tainted with sin, now we're convicted of our sin. Now we know what our sin is. Now we hate our sin. We hate our sin. Oh my. And now, think of this too. Think of the great change that has been wrought in God's people. I did not like the people of God before the Lord saved me. I'll be honest with you. I didn't. I didn't want to ever be around anyone who professed Christ before I was saved. I just did not want to be around them. You know why? Because I was convicted of my sin. That's why. But now, you know what? I love God's people. Do you? And that's a test, isn't it? We know that's a test of Scripture. Do you love God's people? Do you love them? Oh yeah, we do, don't we? What a change how grace has reigned in our life now and superabounded in our life. That it would take a sinner who despises the things of God, or even if they didn't verbally say that, we shook our fist at God by our own sin, didn't we? And now to hate our sin, to love God, to love His people, to love the gospel, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, grace reigns in our lives, doesn't it? It absolutely reigns in our lives, beloved. It's marvelous. So God's grace is reigning grace, beloved. Because God reigns. Because God reigns. Grace reigns by Him. And Christ is all our righteousness. And God's justice is satisfied in Christ and glorified. Do you know that God's justice and law is glorified by Christ? It's magnified. He fulfilled it in our place. My. God's grace reigns, and salvation is all of grace. Therefore, you who are the redeemed of the Lord, rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ has given this grace to you. To you. He didn't give it to everybody. And rejoice. This grace is also eternal. A.W. Pink brings this forth. He said, grace was planned before it was exercised. It was purposed before it was imparted. Oh my. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. We'll see where he gets that thought from. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll read verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. And then we'll go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, there it is again, right? Not according to anything we've done, but according to His own purpose in what? Grace. Which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began.
my. Planned, purposed, and executed. All by God. All by God. But now is made manifest, how? By the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is wonderful. The grace of God, beloved, is free. No amount of money can buy it. No amount of money can buy it. Nothing. No, you could have mountains of money and you can't purchase the grace of God. You can't purchase the grace of God. And it can never be earned. No matter how much work you do, you got, this is why people who are trying to work their way to heaven or gain merit and favor with God by their works, they don't even know what the scripture says. Because you can't earn it. It's impossible to earn. It's a gift. It's a gift. And it's given from the hand of God. Think of that. From the hand of God to every believer. It's marvelous. It's absolutely marvelous. Oh, can never be earned, can never be merited, can never be purchased. And let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Where it's so clear in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read verse 7 and 8. 7, 8, 9, and 10 again. Look at this. Now let's read 6 with it. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Now, could God show the exceeding riches of His grace if we could earn it or merit it or purchase it? No. Because then we'd boast, wouldn't we? This is exactly what the Scripture says. But because it's the free grace of God, because it's unmerited, because it's undeserved, because it cannot be purchased, and in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace, and oh how rich is His grace, in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Same thing that we read over there in 2 Timothy, right? Not according to our works, Paul wrote over there. So again, he just keeps stressing this, doesn't he? And remember, this is all by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. This is stressed time and time and time again. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He has saved us. It's a constant theme through the Scripture. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship. Oh, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're His workmanship, beloved. And God's grace is given to us. And the faith that we have in Christ is being given to us by God. And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all because of God's grace, which is given to us. And oh, what kindness He's showing us. What kindness God is showing us in and through Christ. Do you know that throughout all eternity, God's people will be displayed as trophies of the grace of God. Trophies of the grace. I don't know. We'll probably look at each other and see each other as trophies of the grace of God, won't we? It'd be amazing. Oh, you're here the same way I am, by the grace of God. And what do we all say? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh my, we'll give Him all the glory, beloved. And you know what? We'll praise Him forever. We'll praise Him forever for His grace and mercy that's been given to us in Christ. And we'll praise Him forever for His kindness towards us. And this grace is sovereign grace because our sovereign God exercises it. He exercises it. And He bestows it upon whomever He pleases. Whomever He pleases. Even so might grace reign, Romans 5:21. If grace reigns, then it's on the throne. And the occupant of the throne is sovereign. And think how our God's throne is what? It's called the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly to the what? The throne of grace. He's a king. We come before the king, beloved. We come before him. Don't ever, always remember when you're praying to the king. When we come here to worship, don't take this lightly. When we come here to worship, we come here to worship the King. Don't we? We come here to worship the King. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. Oh my. And do you know that God's grace is sovereign? He gives it to whomever He pleases. And do you know He's obligated to give it to no one? But He's chosen the people to give it to, hasn't He? But He's in no way obligated to do that. He's done that according to His free and sovereign grace, His mercy. His mercy. He gives it to whomever He pleases. And do you know that His grace is no respecter of persons? Doesn't matter what status a person is in life, rich or poor, or even in the middle. No. This grace that we receive is all a gift, beloved. It's all a gift. And we are saved by the pure, free, and sovereign grace and mercy of God in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Plus nothing. Not of works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, He has saved us. According to His mercy. Rejoice if you're one of God's people. He's had mercy on you. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. God does whatever He pleases. He does whatever He pleases. He does whatever He pleases in heaven. He does whatever He pleases on earth. No one can stay His hand. And the Scriptures declare that eternal life is a gift of God. Therefore, it can neither be earned by works or claimed as a right. We can't even claim it as a right, can we? No, it's a gift. It's a gift that's given to us, beloved. All according to the grace of God. Romans 9, verse 15 and 16 very clearly brings this out. It's God who shows mercy. For He saith to Moses, I have mercy on whom I have compassion. Put your name in there. He said mercy on us, hasn't He? He said mercy on us. Romans chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. Well, He's had mercy on me. I'm one of the ones He's had mercy on. Are you? And I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Well, we're one of them. We who are God's people. So then it is not of him that willeth. There goes man's free will right out the window. Right? A good verse to bring people to. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It can't be earned. Can't be earned. But of God that what? Showeth mercy. There's the key, beloved. Mercy. And nothing brings the enmity which natural man has towards God. Nothing brings out the enmity which natural man has towards God than the preaching of God's free and sovereign grace. And telling them that God can choose whomever he desires to choose. It brings the enmity that man has out to God in full front. I've seen it many times. And we preach the absolute sovereignty of God. We preach that God will have compassion on whom He'll have compassion. The absolute sovereignty of God in salvation. The absolute sovereignty of divine grace and salvation in Christ alone. All by the will of God alone. And when you preach that and when you talk to people about that, they do not like that. Because it offends men's pride when you tell them they can't do anything to be saved. Oh my. God's grace cannot be earned by any works of man or won by any efforts of man. And this offends the self-righteous man or woman. And the fact that God is the potter and we are the clay offends the natural man. Offends the natural man who always wants something to do to gain merit and favor with God. I told you many times when before the Lord saved me, I thought my good would outweigh my bad. Little did I know I had no good. But that's what I thought because it was based upon what I was doing. Was it so for you? Might have been something a little bit different, but it was probably based upon something you were doing. Oh my. This gift of grace is wondrous. This faith that God has given us is wondrous. And then we marvel at this distinguishing grace of God, the fact that He even gave it to us and He passed by other people that we know. It leaves us in wonder and awe. Absolute wonder and awe. So we see the truth of, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. We see the truth of that even in our own lives, don't we?
Since there's no cause in the recipient, then the whole cause is in the giver, isn't it? If there's no cause for this grace to be given to us in us, then the cause of this grace being given to us is all in the giver. That's the truth of Scripture. That's the truth of Scripture. This grace finds no cause in the recipient. No cause at all. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us, by the washing of the regeneration, being born again, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which was shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Mercy, mercy, mercy. The word mercy is defined as this in the Scriptures: kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted. That was our natural state, dead in trespasses and sins. Joined with a desire to help. And oh, has God not helped us, hasn't He? He's given us grace to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are saved by His grace. He has mercy on poor sinners. Think of how the grace of God takes rebels and turns them into a child of God. Think of that. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 9. Think of this. This is how our dear brother Paul was, wasn't he? Saul was bitter and bloody, persecutor of the church, beloved. He was breathing out threatenings and bent upon the slaughter of the church. And God's sheep, they were worried about him. And he put to death the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But marvel at how a rebel is transformed by the invincible grace of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. And Saul, yet breathing out slaughters, or breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he didn't care, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Oh my. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Again, this shows the unity of the body and the head, because he was persecuting Christians, and the Lord tells him, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and there shall be told thee what thou must do. So the grace of God took a rebel and turned him into a child of God. You know, the Corinthian people were known in the empire, in the Roman Empire, as criminal people, villainous people, steeped in debauchery. There were songs written about them, about their debauchery. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And some of what they did was talked about in this chapter here. We'll read verses 9 to 11. But marvel here before us in the transforming grace of God, in the elect of God, as we know that they were saved, called and saved out from among the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And look what Paul writes here. And such were some of you. My. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Note they're washed, beloved. And we know that's in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in their place at Calvary's cross. They're sanctified. We know that's all by a powerful operation of the Holy Spirit of God. And we're also sanctified in Christ Jesus our Lord. And they're justified through the infinitely tender mercies of the grace of God. They were once steeped in sin. We read that.
They were once steeped in sin. And now they glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they glory. They praise the wonderful, merciful Savior who's rescued them from that situation. And let's bring it home. We were once dead in trespasses and sins, weren't we? We were once dead in trespasses and sins. Just as our opening text proclaimed. But God had mercy upon us, we who are His people. And we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We're washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give all the glory, honor, and praise to our great God. Hallelujah. What a Savior is Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for allowing us to gather together, for allowing us to hear Thy Word preached and proclaimed. Oh Lord, we know that not everyone is bought here by Your providence, but by Your providence You've brought us here to gather together, to hear Thy Word. And we are so thankful, O Lord. Thankful that we can hear the Scripture preached and proclaimed. Thankful that You've given us ears to hear and eyes to see Thee, O Lord. Because otherwise we would still be dead in trespasses and sins and with no hope. But what a hope we have in Thee, O Lord. What a rest we have in Thee. Glory to Your name. Honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.